Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
I just want to follow on from what Andrew was saying regarding mothers, and quite a crucial thing that I often talk to people about, and that's the image of God and how the Word says that we are the image of God. Sorry, my technology is playing up. And what does that mean? If we're the image of God, that means all of us, doesn't it? So when we talk about God as the Father, it's not just the Father, is he? Because it's your image and my image and everybody's image. So God is not only portraying a father, he's portraying the mother as well, isn't he? So it's really important to realize that we are all part of what God is, and it's not this father thing, it is mother as well. My wife reminded me of that this morning. But I did agree with her. Right, sorry about this, but as I said, this is the first time I've used technology, and I'll be with you in a minute. So what I was hoping to talk about today is desire. And I say, going on from a little bit from what Andrew said about mothers and stuff like that, it's that when God made Adam, he put him on the earth and he said, you need to have company. So all the animals of the earth were created, and Adam went away and named all these animals, but he was still lonely. But Adam never actually said to God, I need more, I need something else. God realized, and God had a desire to fulfill what Adam needed. And that's when he made woman out of man. He sent Adam asleep, took the bone, and he made woman. So what God was doing was fulfilling the desire that he knew Adam had. So what I'm talking about today is going to be desire. I might get through this very quickly, and I might not. And also, what I was hoping for, and I'm not sure that we'll have the time, but if we do, that'd be great, that as I go through this, there's going to be things that you're going to question. I'm 100% certain of that. Because what I've brought today is something that God has brought into my life, and he's telling me. And it's important that not everything that God's telling me is going to be appropriate for you, and it might not even fit with what you think this particular word is about. So at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask questions, which is a strange thing to do, and I almost guarantee that I won't be able to answer the questions. But I'd like to give you the option. If you find that anything comes up that you want to question me about, then feel free to do so. And so I better crack on, otherwise I won't get time to do that. When we bring a message, as I said, it's hopefully something that God has laid on our hearts. And God laid this on my heart some time ago. I asked Andrew if I could share the message, and he graciously said yes. It could be quite a hard message, and that was a shame it was Mother and Sunday, because I thought it was a lovely, soft, lovely day to celebrate mothers. And here I am. So, the thing is, you know, if you hear something and you feel that it's you know, some people think, oh, that's a harsh word. That shouldn't be talked about. He shouldn't be saying that. That doesn't fit right. Then often there's two things that means. One is that I've got it completely wrong, which could well be the case. And the other thing is the Holy Spirit's just nudging you and saying, maybe you need to consider this a bit more. So either way, we'll see how it goes. This is something that I believe we all have a concept of, but we need to consider constantly. It's not a message to condemn, but it's a message that could condemn if we don't take it right, as I've just been saying. It's about desire, but why have I picked desire? In the King James Version, there's over 1,500 times the word desire is mentioned. In the ESV, which I use, is over 1,600 times. The NIV, over 1,800 times. And if we want to go into the Amplified, over 2,100 times the word desire is mentioned. So perhaps we should have a look at what it actually means. We obviously have the need for things in our life. And obviously need then takes us into the desire for things as well. What I just want to show you is how that thing falls off quite easily when you... It's absolutely seamless. I learned from the master. Oh, is it up there? Okay, some of you might have seen this before. This is used by many people as a management tool for teaching people about what we need, what we desire. And it's called Maslow's Pyramid of Needs. And how it works is, from the base level, what this is saying is, at that level, once all them things are fulfilled, we can move up a level. So as we sit here now, if you can read that, if not, I'll go through some of the things. Have a think about where you sit on that pyramid. It starts off with psychological needs, the need for breathing, food, water, shelter, clothing, and sleep. We all need them. Hopefully, most of the time, all of us get them. Okay, we might be struggling with some at times, but I think we all move above that. Safety and security. Under that, we've got health, employment, property, family, and social stability. Okay, the fundamental things that we seem to have in our environment. I would say that most of us would still sit in that. Love and belonging, friendship, family, intimacy, sense of connection. Okay, again, there might be issues in some of them, but I would hope that most of us sit within that category. Self-esteem. I think this is a challenge for a lot of people. That self-esteem is confidence, achievement, respect of others, the need to be a unique individual. And that's where we sometimes struggle. So maybe some of us are hovering in that area. And then self-actualization. The way that this was taught to me years ago was, it's a spiritual thing that you get a sense of self-realization. Some of the words on there, I like the experience, purpose, meaning, and inner potential. I like that. But you're supposedly meant to move up and down this pyramid at different times in your life. So where am I going with this? I'm sort of going to come against that a little bit, because, as I said, this is a model that many people use to say where we are as human beings, and we need these things, and we need to move up, and we need to desire these things to go forward in our lives. So, were we created to have desire? I think most of us would probably say yes, because we all have, so we must have been. Does Scripture support us in this? Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many times have we heard that scripture spoken over us? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But how many of you have not had those desires met? You think you've got the desire, you pray about it and nothing happens, or something, the opposite happens. But it says in the word, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what the word says. Psalm 145, 16. God speaking. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. So talking about God, you open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. So I go back to that again and say, if we've had desires and not been fulfilled, why is that? Because the word says that it will be fulfilled. Can anybody tell me where the first place that desire is talked about or mentioned? Anybody know? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Pardon? Yeah. Did everybody hear that? The Garden of Eden. I'm going to read the scripture. Okay, Genesis 3, 5, 6. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it the fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Why did she do that? She was tricked, we say, by the devil, but there was an underlying desire for something, and then she took that desire. God had provided everything that Adam and Eve needed. You know, we talk about this garden of paradise. It was everything, but still desire took over. So where am I going still with this? Probably no idea. What I believe, and what I believe God's talked to me about, is finding out what desire is for me. And I hope for you guys as well. Because I think desire means one thing, and to desire one thing. That might seem obvious, but God should be our only desire. The tricky bit is, is when we do that, how do we find out what our desires are and whether they come in line with God? I just want to read this other scripture. This is from James 1. I'm sorry there's lots of big scriptures, but I think they're quite important. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured, enticed by his own desire. I just want to read that last bit again, okay? God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed into his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits for his creation. It says every good gift comes from above. Yet we have desires, and we pray about desires. So are then desires coming from above, or are they coming from us? How do we know if our desires have come from God? This is a question I've struggled with many, many years. Okay, because sometimes we think, I know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to walk the streets, I'm going to talk to everybody because I desire everybody to be saved. That's not wrong, but is that coming from me or is that coming from God? How do we know? As I said, I think our desire should be one desire, and that's desire to desire God. If we desire God, what does that mean? Because what we desire, we chase after, don't we? In some form or other, we look to achieve it, we look to attain it, or whatever. But if we truly desire God, what does that mean in our life? For me, and this message is for me, because I often talk to people about a true walk with Christ is having a relationship with God, having a relationship with Jesus. And the stronger and the more in-depth that relationship is, the more that we will get downloads from Christ and Jesus and God. Yet, I'll still go home at the end of the day if I've been out or I've been doing something all day, and I'll sit in front of the TV because I think that's my switch-off time. I think, oh yeah, I just want to chill. I'll be thinking to myself, oh, you know what, I could put a bit of worship music on, but the garden needs sorting out. I'll go out and do that. I'm always putting things in the way when I could spend more and more time with God. And that, no matter how I look at it, and this is can be different for all of you, and this is where we're going to get some contention, that reduces the download from God to me. Because the more time I spend in God's presence, the more he's going to download to me. If my desire is God, then his desire for me is going to come through that relationship. And that's the point I want to make, is that I believe our desire should be God. That relationship then downloads into us, and his desires for us then overflow from us, because we are in connection with God, we have a relationship with God, and then he speaks through us into situations. Prayer and fellowship with God gives us all we need. I truly and utterly believe that. Everything we need comes from prayer and relationship with God. But I would say nearly all of us fail. Fail is a wrong word. But all of us can have a deeper relationship and get more from God. I just want to give a couple of examples of what I'm trying to say. A friend of mine and Michelle's was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And for those of you who've known people with that, it's something that people don't recover from. It's a life-taking cancer. I'd been a Christian for maybe 4 years, 5 years, been into the Word a bit, got really excited about what the Word says. And I thought, well, this is a serious thing. This man's going to die from this. All the indications are this man's going to die from this. So my desire was to do everything I could to stop this happening. So I went into a period of fasting and prayer. Me and Michelle were going to meet this guy and his family in South Africa 3 weeks from the time that I decided to do this. I was going to do a full fast, no food, just liquids for 3 weeks, because my desire was that this man should be healed. Went into that time of fast. I will just admit that I had two meals in that 3 weeks, and they were for birthdays, so I didn't want to portray this holier than thou. Oh, I'm fasting, so I just went to these birthday meals and had food. And we met up with this couple in South Africa, and we prayed for them. We told them that we've been fasting and praying for their healing, and we believed that this healing was going to take place. Now, some 6 months later, the guy passed away, and then I had to ask the question, why, if I'd done all these things, did this guy pass away? I'd done what the Word said. I'd prayed, I'd fasted. My desire was for this man to be healed. So why wasn't he healed? And then you have to come to this peace where you suddenly say, well, God's greater than what we are. He knows what's best. And he truly did in this circumstance. This whole event for this guy brought his family closer, gave him time to spend with his family. And it really, I just saw God in this all over it. But the man still died. But what I've come to realize is that it was my desire for this guy to be healed. I don't know if it was God's desire or not. And sometimes it's not wrong to pray in for people to be healed. Of course it's not wrong. But I'm unsure whether my desire was in line with God's in this instance. Because I didn't go to God and say, Lord, what's your desire for this man? Your will be done, Lord God. Show me what I can do to help this man. How can I be a party to his journey that he's going through? All I was concerned with was, heal him, Lord, heal him, Lord, heal him, Lord. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm not sure that I was connected with God's desire for that man's walk. The other instance I want to give is a couple of years back, my granddaughter got overhydrated, which sounds strange. She drank too much. Her sodium levels went up in her body, and she fitted, she was sick, and she aspirated her sick. She was only small, so obviously anything going into lungs is serious. She ended up in Addenbrookes, and it was touch and go. It was a case of there's a good chance that she won't come out of this. They sedated her, kept her under, because there was all problems with the brain and everything else, that she'd lost oxygen to the brain during this time. And this time, not through choice, just because that's how it happened, I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I need to know what your desire is in this, because I can't deal with this. This is not something I know how to pray for or what to pray. I'm completely lost. And to be honest with you, it wasn't a nice, gentle conversation. I was shouting at God. I was shouting at God saying, you know, your word says you will not give me more than I can take. And this seems like it's going to be more than I can take. And in that time, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to pray this scripture over your granddaughter. And the scripture was the scripture of the young girl when she was raised. And the words Talitha come was spoken over to her, over her, and she was raised. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to pray over my granddaughter's dead body to raise her. You know, that's really something, that's not my desire. That's clearly not my desire to pray over my granddaughter's dead body. So I was struggling with that. The next morning, God is good, for sure. I got a message from my pastor, and it said, Hi, Clive, I couldn't speak this to you because it was too strong a message and I didn't know how to say it to you, so I've texted it to you to honour God. And he said, I really believe you need to pray this particular scripture over your granddaughter. And it was exactly the same scripture. So God confirmed it, gave me peace that I had to pray that over her. Went into hospital that day, asked my son and daughter if I could pray for my granddaughter. They're not Christians, so that was the hurdle I had to get over to start with. And they said, yeah, of course, anything. So I prayed the words out of that scripture, and I said to my son and my granddaughter, I believe that there will be breakthrough today. And as you sort of sit next to the phone waiting for a call to say she's better, you know, the time went on and on and on. We went to bed and we heard nothing. Next day, they said she's come out of it. She's going to be fine. And that happened sort of 12 o'clock time. So it still did happen in that day. But the point is, I was following God's desire this time. I've heard what God had said. I was listening to God, and his desire was for me to pray for that girl, that the Holy Spirit could work and bring that girl out of the sedation she was under, and to make sure that she had no lasting issues. It was different. It felt different. The way that I approached God was different. I spent time in his presence, not just crying out for my desires for this young girl. When we only desire him, his desires become our desires. It's not the other way around. If we take our desires and lay them at his feet, I'm not saying he's not going to answer and he's not going to do that, because that might already be his desires. There's nothing wrong in that. But I still think if we take our desires to God and say, here's my desires, give it me. I need it. The word says, give it to me. Whereas we need to seek him, listen to him, be in relationship with him so he can speak into our lives. The scripture, one of the scriptures I started with, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Great scripture, wonderful. But sometimes we need to look at scripture in its context, don't we? Because we are very good at pulling out scripture and saying, this is for this moment, you know, take this. And I've been in that trap where I've done that, and I've also received scripture and I've gone back to the word and I've looked and said, well, actually, when you read it in context, it really doesn't make any sense to the situation I'm in. So if we go to the next line of that particular scripture, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. It just says something different, doesn't it? It says this is what is available to you, but this is what you need to do for that. You need to commit your way to the Lord. You need to trust in him and he will act. Now, the friction that I've had, and I'm sure many of you might be thinking of, well, I pray, I listen to God, and I've still, some of my prayers haven't been answered. And that's the mystery, isn't it? That's the mystery. And I can't answer that, and I can't say this is going to work every time you pray, but I honestly believe you'll see more prayers answered the more time you spend in God's presence. The other scripture we said, talking of God, you open your hand, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. Great. But the line previous to that, the eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food in due season. The eyes of all look to you. And then it goes on to say that the desires of every living thing will be given to them because they're looking to God, because they are receiving from God. Matthew 7:7 is something that I have looked at in the wrong way, and I'm sure there'll be people who have looked at it the same way as me and some who know clearly what it means in another way. But Matthew 7:7 is the scripture that says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. Now, I've always looked at that as going on with these things that, okay, if I need something, all I've got to do is ask and it's going to be given to me. And I just say, Lord, I'm knocking on the door, Lord, give me this need. You know, it's a biblical and it's a spiritual need. Give it to me. And I've always seen it like that. And I was talking to Michelle about it. I said, this scripture really throws up what I believe I need to tell people. I'm telling people that they need to desire the Lord. That needs to be their single desire. And then the desires will come from God to you to pray about. But this one seems to say, all I've got to do is ask, all I've got to do is seek, all I've got to do is knock, and it'll all be given to me. So that sort of threw me out a little bit, and I thought, oh no, my whole message is messed up because I've got it wrong. But then Michelle said, she said, well, it's about the Spirit. It's about asking God for the Spirit. And I started to read it again, and I thought, wow, it opens that up so much. And as we read further into that scripture, and I just say, go away and read the rest of the scripture, because it really opens it up when I looked at it in that way. It says, ask and it will be given. So you're asking the Lord to reveal his Spirit to you. You're saying, Lord, let me have more of you. Let me see more of you. Seek and you will find. Seek the Lord. Just as I've been saying all the way through this, fellowship, relationship, seek the Lord. Knock and it will be opened. That's a bit of a tricky one. We can have a conversation about that afterwards, if you like. So I'm not sure what that actually means, but for me it means knocking, that the heart of God will be opened. Be open to us. Okay. What I want to, the other scripture that I wanted just to mention, it's Song of Songs. And I'm sure we're all aware that Song of Songs is a love message. It's a love message from Christ to his bride, us. So when we read it like that, we read that Christ is talking to us. It's a wonderful thing to read through. And it says in that, it says, I am, this is us talking to the Lord. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. So if God's desire is for me, then if we desire him, everything comes back to us. It's a desire that he wants everything for us. He knows what we need, doesn't he? He knows everything we need. So let's just go back to this works. If we go back to this, if it comes on, this diagram I started the whole thing with, Maslow's pyramid of needs. I'm sure as we go through that, I'm not going to go through loads and loads of scriptures, but as we look at it again, you'll see that God provides everything that is on that pyramid. I know AJ was speaking last week, and a few weeks ago, when you asked us to read out the different aspects of God. So when we look at that again, really, I think that is a worldly diagram, because I think everything on there is supplied by God. And the deeper the relationship we have, the more we stay at the top. Yes, we bounce around. And if we look around the world, you know, we've got God-fearing Christians who are seeing massive moves of the Holy Spirit, and they're still at that bottom level. So it doesn't matter. We don't need to achieve these different levels. We don't need to aspire to have greater things. We need to aspire to know the Lord more and more. God is our provider, isn't he? God is our healer. God is our fortress. He just gives us all we need. So everything on there, when we go to him, can be provided. I know that all of us are at different levels, and there's things that we need prayer for, just as Andrew was saying. You know, we need prayer into circumstances and situations that we're in. But God is the answer. And that can be through us. You know, we at the end of the day, we are God's hands and feet. And I've said this before, and I'll always say it because I believe it. I believe as we sit here today, there's things going on in your spirit that maybe you feel you should pray for someone. Maybe you feel you should put your arm around someone, but you've got something that stops you. A great release for me when I just started to think, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk up to that person. Oh, excuse me, but I think I need to pray for you. And that release is wonderful, because God is using you as his hands and feet. And that's what you're all called to be. Andrew was praying this morning in the prayer room, and he's saying, you know, we're building a foundation. And we are. But what do you do with a foundation? We can stand on a foundation and we can be solid and we can just stand there, or we can build on it. And that's, I believe that's Andrew's desire, it's the desire of the church, to build you guys, to take you into something different, because it's easy to sit. You can even build a house and you can say, this is it, I've done it. I'm going to sit and I'm comfortable. Or you can move to the next step. You can give your house away. But listening to God, it's all the key. The key is to listen to God. If nothing else, that's what this message is about. If we've got a desire, check it out with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his presence and say, God, is this of you? Now, just recently, am I rambling? Sorry. Just one more thing. Just recently, I really had this desire to, Andrew introduced me to some people in Downham who have just got these youngsters coming into their home, and they're delivering God's message to them, showing love and all that. And I thought, this is great. We do this in King's Lynn. We can do this. And as I thought about that, my desire increased, and I started to think about places I could do it. I knew a place. I went to this person and said, oh, can we have this building? We want to achieve this young person's drop-in in King's Lynn. And he said, yeah, that sounds a great idea. Yeah, you can come along and use the place. It needs sorting out. Got people around who could fix it. Got an electrician from another guy who I know. This guy owns a big electrical company. He said, yeah, I'll come in. He said, I can do this and do that. And, you know, we won't charge you hardly anything. So it was all moving on. It was going forward all the time. It was my desire. But this time, I was saying to the Lord all the way along, this is down to you, Lord. I will walk as far as I can go, and I will open every door I can, and I'll go through. But as soon as the door closes, Lord, I know that that's not of you. It needs to be your desire as well. And I think God takes us on these little journeys sometimes to see how much we're prepared to step out. And it might not be where he wants us, but at least he knows we're trying. And that came to a close. You know, it was all set up. We've got an electrician in place to revamp the place. People were prepared to become part of the vision and join in. And then suddenly the venue was pulled away from us. And it was that peace of knowing that I've been to the Lord and said, Lord, is this of you? And said, never mind. You know, he took us on a journey, and then that journey has come to a stop. But God knows. God knows. So yeah, just want to encourage you guys. And if anybody wants prayer afterwards, as Andrew said, you know, he's available and others are available to pray for you. So if you look in history of extremely powerful men and women of God, and I always start with the Desert Fathers, who just isolated themselves from the church communities and sought God. And what happened with them guys, people then came out of villages to see these guys because they knew the Holy Spirit's working through these guys. So, yes, I understand what you're saying, but I would also say if we ask God in every situation about our desires, then there'll be an increase in our relationship with God. And that's where I know one, maybe two people who I believe walk very, very closely with God, because all they talk about is God. Everything is God. You don't want to talk about anything else with them because that's all that's pouring out of them. And that is an achievement that we can all strive for. But what we mustn't do is condemn ourselves for not being there, because that's when we start to think, I can't do that and all this sort of thing. That's not important. God wants as much of us as we can give. That's what he wants. And if we can give more, I know there's more for us to have and the outpouring of that. I've got friends who are, as you all know, who are healing on the streets. Why they're healing on the streets? I've had a desire to go on the streets and heal people, pray for people and bring them to salvation. And I used to go out on a regular basis and find nothing. I used to come against people and they say, go away. And I used to feel deflated because it was my desire to go and do this. The word says do it, but it was my desire to do it. But recently I've been out with someone who's got a download from God. Go out, do this. God's desire for him. He feels that it's God's desire for him to do that. And he's seeing people healed. Every time he prays for someone, he knows this person's going to be healed. And he sees it all the time.
Simply just round this up and say, Father, we thank you that you do give us the desires of our heart in line with your word, your plan and your purpose for us. So, Father God, our heart for us as a church is to stand on that solid foundation and build. The heart of this church is to see relationships formed, to see a strong bond through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be connected one to another, connected to the Father and the Son through the Spirit. Our heart is to see each man, woman and child in this church and churches around us to be connected to you. So Father God, we praise you and we thank you that you'd encourage us in this season of our journey to seek first your kingdom. You'd encourage us, Father God, to listen, to ask the question and listen for the answer. That, Father God, that you would enable us to walk on straight street. That, Father God, you'd bring the high low and the low high. So there'd be a firm road that we would walk on. Father God, encourage us to be encouragers. That we may seek your word. That, Father God, that we may be who you've called us to be. Yeah. We ask this in your name, Jesus. God's people say it. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.